UJFM 95.4.
Dynamically shaping the future.
12 after 8 on my clock. It's the Monday edition, a very special edition of Open Forum right here on UJFM 95.4. If you just turned on your radios, my name is Gwanda Mawela. I'm with you just for a little bit of time. I'm hijacking Akona as well as Sam this evening for a very special edition of the Open Forum. It is an honor this evening to introduce our distinguished guest, the Honorable Minister of Presidency in Botswana, His Excellency Moeti Mohaswa. As a seasoned politician with an extensive career, Minister Mohaswa has played a pivotal role in shaping Botswana's governance and development. Recently appointed to his current position, he's been very instrumental in driving transformative reforms aimed at building a productive government, robust economy, and a thriving society. Now, Minister Mohaswa's portfolio is vast, encompassing key areas such as state governance, for one, media, as well as national security. And he's already made significant strides in hosting a media consultative forum to redefine the role of media in Botswana. This evening, on this very special edition of the Open Forum, we're delving into Minister Mohaswa's responsibilities, his remarkable journey in politics and his vision for a new beginning in Botswana. I am so honored, Wenababala, this evening to be in the presence of His Excellency, Minister of Presidency in Botswana, Moeti Mohaswa. Your Honourable, I don't know if I should say Your Honourable.
Just call me Comrade.
Comrade. Thank you so much for joining us on UJFM.
Just listen up a bit. Yeah.
Yes.
You've already done a lot of research, huh?
I really did, Minister. It's such a pleasure to have you here this evening.
The pleasure is mine.
And thank you so much for making time for us. I think the first question I want to start with, Minister, is what does a Minister of Presidency do? Because we hear the name all the time, we see the title, but a lot of us truly don't know the responsibility that goes into it.
Let me start off by indicating that the proper nomenclature for that position in our situation, in our country, is Minister for State President.
For State Presidency.
Okay.
So you have the army.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You have the police. You have the Directorate of Corruption and Economic Crime.
Mm-hmm.
You have the state media. You have... did I mention the police?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Yes, and you also have the Directorate of Intelligence Services,
mm-hmm.
Disaster, the Department of... there are quite a number of disabilities and other departments that fall under the my ministry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you also deal with independent departments like that are funded by government, for example, Red Cross, and many others.
Mm.
So it's quite a challenging position.
Yes.
And I also serve as the Leader of the House,
mm.
National Assembly. And the other day when I was having a chat with the President, I was saying, you've really set me up for failure because I can't deal with so many responsibilities at the same time.
Mm.
Mm. I think that in a way was a vote of confidence in me, and I hardly sleep because I don't want to disappoint him.
Mm.
But it's not just so much about the president. It's about delivering on what we promised our people.
Absolutely.
Because that's what he wants for us.
Mm.
He's not so much interested in his ego. He's interested in the welfare of Botswana.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been easy getting to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sitting in government, a party that has been in power for 58 years.
Yes.
And going into an election without any form of funding.
Yeah.
But I think it was through God's intervention,
mm-hmm.
that we got to where we are.
Absolutely. Minister.
In fact, a lot of people were shocked.
Yes.
That we ended up winning. Even those who wished us well,
yes.
before elections were shocked that we won.
Yes, mm. absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Minister Ubabalwa and I were chatting just a little bit earlier on about your political journey.
Yes,
and just how much of a prominent figure you are in Botswana's political landscape for many, many years now. Can you share with us this evening some pivotal moments for you in this political journey that you've been on?
Oh, do you have enough time? No, quite honestly, I mean, it hasn't been easy. You know, we all of us who contributed to this change of government, basically sacrificed a lot of opportunities. We used our resources, personal resources, to fund this the campaigns, because as you might be aware, there is no funding of political parties. Right. It's only going to start now. All along, there hasn't been any funding of political parties. And the opposition, for that matter, couldn't even attract any form of sensible support from the private sector. So the only choice that you had was to sacrifice, deny your own kids those resources that, you know, in some instances, we had some of us, some of our colleagues, having their kids sent back from school because the parents were not able to pay school. They had actually taken the money to go and fund political campaigns. So it was not easy. It was challenging. I was active in student politics. And at one stage, I ran a newspaper.
Yes.
And then, there was a time when I was also, just when I was doing my national service, I was also a stringer. So I have actually been in that media space for a very long time. And I also did a number of courses on public relations, which helped me quite a lot. Because really, people take communication and public relations lightly, but it's very important. You need to be grounded in that area. But that's one of the most underestimated areas.
Okay.
But what I can say is that, look, we are where we are now. The challenge is to deliver. And a good number of the people who voted for us are the youth. And our intention is to make sure that we create 100,000 jobs between now and 2029.
Mm.
No, sorry, 500,000 jobs.
Okay.
And that might seem like a small number. Of course, yes, it's a small number because we have a small population.
Absolutely.
We have a population of about 2.4. So what we need to do then is also lay a good foundation for our youth. And we are looking at introducing a 2,500 pula, an equivalent of about slightly over 3,000 rands allowance for students every month. Because it's about empowering the students and making sure that they focus on their studies. And in some instances, particularly our young girls end up being compromised because of lack of resources. You know, they become easy prey for the affluent members of the society. And what we need to do is assist them so they can focus on their studies. And, you know, young, men who have money tend to pick on these young girls.
Absolutely.
Because, they are, like I say, they are easy prey. But what is important is to make sure that we empower the youth and we also allow them to participate in determining their own future. We have a minister of youth who is 26 years old. We have a number of assistant ministers who are also young. Minister of, we have about two ministers. We also have a cabinet of 18. We have about three full ministers and quite a number of assistant ministers, all below 30 years of old.
Incredible.
And this is deliberate because we are saying we have to have them on the table when we discuss their issues and when also we distribute resources of this country. But also, most importantly, it's a question of for us, we can discuss issues that relate to youth matters without them on the table. So it's important to empower them and also say to the youth, you can make it as well.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's not just for the older people. You can do it as well.
Absolutely.
So all that you need, the youth need is to be given support and to be encouraged.
Absolutely.
So, Comrade, I saw that you mentioned that you ran a media company, which is a newspaper, being the Mirror newspaper, right?
Oh!
And you work closely with the media.
Let me congratulate you. You've really done a lot of research.
Thank you.
I'm actually so. I hope you won't reveal other things about me.
Absolutely not.
No, I'm joking. There isn't much to hide.
So now, how has your journalistic background influenced your approach to governance and also policy making?
When I was still at secondary school, we ran a school magazine. And then when I got to the university, I was in the editorial board of UB Scope. And then when I went for national service, I was a stringer. I need to raise a bit of money. So, and I used to write for this publication. And then later, I was appointed as a distributor for Mehri newspaper in the north, and also as a stringer. Later, I decided to set up my own paper, mm-hmm. which I did. It has a, and we ended up with two offices, one in my hometown of Silepikwe, and the other office in Gaborone. But later, I sold it when I got into politics because I felt it wasn't right. You know, it didn't sit well with me to have, I mean, to be an active politician. By then, I was the spokesperson of the Botswana National Front, mm-hmm. and I took this position. I got into this position in 2005. Mm. I think a year or two later, I sold the newspaper, which I had set up in 1996. but then, you know, I wasn't far off from the media space. That is why right now we are talking about converting the, because we believe, I believe in self-regulation. I mm-hmm. believe in independence of the media. I'm, fortunately, that's the same, that's the position that is shared by my own organization. So we are looking at abolishing a draconian piece of legislation called the Media Practitioners Act. Mm. So then that will be done in the near future. Probably in the next sitting of parliament, we are going to abolish that, and then we have asked the media to come up with the draft piece of legislation, so that will allow for their own regulation. Like mm-hmm. it is the case with lawyers, it is the case with engineers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we have no business in regulating the media. Mm-hmm. So that is done, and then we are also looking at putting in place a Freedom of Information Act to mm-hmm. allow easier access to information, because mm-hmm. we are there as a government on behalf of the people, and the people have to know what we are doing. That is why the government, the president was saying we are going to introduce a dashboard so that when a project is implemented, people are able to monitor this project from start to end. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, how far the project is, how much has been spent. Because like you were saying, like the president said, we are there on behalf of the people. So the people have to know what we are doing. Mm,
absolutely.
Transparency is very important.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, Minister, just chatting to you this evening very, very briefly, you've answered all the questions that we had for you. But just to quickly touch on what you spoke about earlier on with the young people. Mm. You are a very seasoned politician with years of experience in politics in Botswana. How does it feel for you now, stepping into a parliament that has a lot, an influx of young people, let me put it like that. How do you plan on bridging that gap between the generational gap of, you know, older politicians as well as younger politicians that are in parliament right now?
I'll have to say that we in Botswana, fortunately, most of the politicians are not that old. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anyone who is over 60 in our National Assembly. And that's a good thing for us. Mm-hmm. But what we are also doing is that we are actually hand-holding the young ones.
Absolutely.
And giving them, some of them are able to even do much better than some of us. And the unfortunate thing is that some people are too assuming. Mm-hmm. That because you are older, then you can do better than the younger ones. Mm-hmm. But it's not like that. I mean, of course, you have a bit of experience, but the question is experience in what? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you need to bring people with fresh ideas and give them the platform to shine. Mm-hmm. That's what is important. So I will say it's a good mix.
Absolutely.
The gap is not too huge. Mm-hmm. The president is, Botswana's president is 55 years old. Mm-hmm. He's still young. He can still go for another 15 years. Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I was just giving you an idea in terms of the democratic age-wise, in terms of the composition of our National Assembly. But fortunately, most of the people who are in there are, new to parliament. Mm. The BDP, the party that was there for, we nearly annihilated the BDP. I mean, imagine in the last elections, they got close to 40 seats out of a parliament that has 61. And then now they have only four. Mm-hmm. Luckily, they got 44. They nearly came out with zero. Mm-hmm. And what that indicates is that if you don't listen to the people, mm-hmm. if you don't do what the people want, if you become arrogant, then people will chase you out.
Absolutely.
Well, in 2019, they rigged elections. We went to court, and because of because our judiciary was not independent, mm-hmm. they threw out our courts on technicalities.
Mm.
We lost, and between then and now, our people were paying costs, and the money that could have, you know, the money they could have used to campaign was now being channeled towards paying costs for those cases.
Mm.
But look, you know, we prevailed.
Absolutely,
you prevailed, and there's a lot of work to do. You know, we are, you know, taking over from a government that was corrupt, that had been there for 55 years,
mm-hmm.
has its own challenges. But we want to have a smooth transfer.
Mm.
Smooth transfer in terms of ensure, not only because at the political level that has been sorted, mm-hmm. but now it's the public service,
mm.
because they have their own people there. But what is important is that some of these people were doing whatever they did because they got instructions from the political leaders. Some who were in these positions were actually using their stomachs to make decisions, not their heads. So we do understand that, you know, they had no choice but to do as the political leadership said.
Mm-hmm.
But what you need to do is that we have to always consistently say to them is that, look, we are not here to fire anyone.
Absolutely.
As long as you are loyal and you are prepared to serve our country, which is also theirs, by the way.
Absolutely.
We won't fire you. That's our position, and we are going to maintain that position.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are not there on a revenge mission. No. We are there to deliver. Because if you become too preoccupied with what happened before we got in, then we lose the plot.
Mm-hmm.
What is important is to deliver to our people and make sure that our people have decent housing. We have to deliver 100,000 jobs between now and 2029. And it's not going to be easy.
Absolutely.
The other day I was visiting some police officers. Some of them didn't have houses. They were staying in tents, literally in tents. And fortunately, you know, God operates in mysterious ways. We had a storm. It washed away those tents, and the government had to quickly put up some structures. But that was better than the tents.
Mm-hmm.
And our intention is actually, we're intending to put more houses for our people and encourage home ownership.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely incredible stuff. Minister, I don't want to keep you here for too long. You are a very busy man. But to wrap up, I just want to hear from you. The University of Johannesburg is nearing, or we are rather, at a monumental point right now, celebrating 20 years of the University of Johannesburg. To our community, our staff, our students, and everybody else that's listening to you right now, what do you have to say in celebration of this 20 years of the University of Johannesburg?
You know, I had an orangish top that I was given that I got from Professor Habib. That was in about 20, how many years from now? About 10 or so years from
now.
Yeah. So, and UJ is quite a reputable university. What you can also say is wish it well.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't easy getting to where you are now, but you have left a mark.
Mm-hmm.
We have people from Botswana who have actually benefited from attending this university. So you've not only served South Africans, you've served the region, you've served the world. And we wish, hopefully we'll be here 20 years from now, wishing you 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're waiting for another 20 years for you, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've done very well.
Absolutely.
Are you still orange?
Yes, we are still orange. Orange Army forever will be the Orange Army. Minister, thank you so much for making time to join us this evening on this very special edition of the Open Forum.
I wish we had more time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But I also need to congratulate you. You know, as a journalist, when you go in interview, when you go for an interview, you have to do a lot of research. So you did a lot of work. You did. I was actually amazed when you asked me about the mirror.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Minister. We're chatting to the Honorable Minister Umowedi Moaswa this evening.
UJFM 95.4.
Dynamically shaping the future.